Good morning to you all again. Hello. It's interesting when you look at all the electronics here, when in fact I recently had the pleasure of listening to a man who's used to not having electronics. And he could probably preach to about, I don't know, thousands of people without actually really needing electronics. But I'm afraid I don't have that sort of voice. He does. But for me, in the last few months, there's been a churning. There's a growing sense of expectancy. And when I ask, what is that expectancy? And it's expectancy for the Lord to be coming back and soon. And it's an expectancy that I've sometimes thought, well, this is just my imagination, my feeling. And we've got to be very careful about feelings and emotions. But when I listen to several other men, other preachers who I know, I trust, I understand who they are, how they live, and they have got the same expectancy with an urgency that the Lord will be returning soon. Now, you can say 2,000 years have gone past or whatever be the case, but for me, there's an urgency in the Spirit that requires me to pay some attention. And the question that I must ask of myself, and I will ask of you, because this is called sharing, and that is, am I ready for the Lord to return? Are you ready for the Lord to return? It's a serious question, one that we really do need to give some thought to. Because if you were to say, yes, I'm ready, I would, no, I can't say that. Because I know that I need to make sure that I am ready. And when we look at the fact that when Jesus does come, there will come the judgment with it. And I get a bit hesitant about this judgment. But yes, we need to be in the place of being able to stand before the Lord in His judgment, knowing that we are secure in Jesus. If we're born again and we are working at our salvation, and it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. If we're doing that, and we're doing the best, when I say the best, that we are actually spending time, diligence, and seeking the Lord, we have nothing much to fear. What I've noticed in my life is that I'm inclined to become, and it can happen any time in your Christian walk, whether you're mature, not mature, old, young, male, female, it doesn't matter, is we get to a place of complacency. And we are asked, when we come to the table of the Lord, to examine ourselves, to have a look and say, where actually are we? And to treat it seriously, because I found complacency coming to me when I think I'm okay. And we need to check ourselves. We need brothers and sisters alongside us. We need the table of the Lord. We need the fellowship. We need to listen to people sharing with us to make sure that we are actually in the right place. So in Romans 13, I'd just like to read to you from Romans 13. And we are asked, I think for me, it's in a business sort of sense, we are asked to take stock of our spiritual state. And you know, when I say take stock, it sometimes means a bit more to me. When, you know, you get your books out and you count whatever your stock is. Take stock of your spiritual state. Are you in a healthy spiritual state or not? And the only person who can answer that, unfortunately, is you or me. And we need to do this together. If we need to, then we have a fellowship here where we're allowed to, we're encouraged to share with one another where we are. And we can pray for one another. We can care for one another. We can support one another, uplift one another. But in Romans 13, it says here, where am I now? Let's just get the reading for you. Romans 13, verse 11. And he's speaking to the Romans about getting himself prepared. Are they in the right place? And he says, and do this knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. It's a lot of reading. It's well worth taking that scripture, noting it, and going to have a look at it. Because he's saying, awake out of sleep. Now, he's not the only one. Paul, if you look at the Gospels, you look at a lot of the letters, there's this continual warning to Christians to make sure of where they are spiritually, the state of where they are. Now, for me this morning, you know, I really believe that I'm speaking to mature Christians, Christians who know the Lord, who know the Lord, who've served the Lord for many years. So it's not, I'm not trying to create condemnation or rebuke or anything else. Like, it's an encouragement to check ourselves, because the Lord wants us to be in a place where He can use us. He wants to use us. The question that we ask ourselves, are we wanting to serve the Lord? Do we have an expectancy for the Lord to use us? And that is a question we need to answer for ourselves. You know, we need to be awake. We need to be prepared. We need to be ready. If somebody phones you up at 2 o'clock in the morning, what is your reaction? It's a voice message. Nobody's answering. And nobody ever comes back to you. Just a thought. And I know, Andrew, you can phone him at any time of the day. Any time of the month. It's true, but we need to be, I'm using that as a bit of an exaggerated example, but it is true, we need to be available. When somebody calls, do we go? Do we go? Can people rely on us to serve them, serving the Lord? You understand what I'm saying? In other words, we call to serve the Lord, but in our serving, we serve one another. You know, I used to think we could come along and serve the Lord. That's me. That's my job done. But it's not. We are called to serve one another, to love one another. And that sometimes can be a bit of a stretch for myself even. So, yeah. And in Luke 21:34, I'm not going to read it, but he says, watch and pray, for the time is coming. And we need to be watching and praying. Why are those two going together? Because it's when we're in the Spirit, when we're praying and we're communing with God, God can show us things that are going on. He can show us the state of our heart. He can show us the state. We don't need to know the state of the world, but because we can see it very clearly. But we need to see that it's not the circumstances that control our Christian life. We don't have to look at the circumstances and go, oh, woe is me. We can look at the circumstances, thank you, Lord, for being who you are, for rescuing me, for putting me in a place that I'm not going to be affected by the world. Unfortunately, we are human, we've got the flesh, and we get affected by the flesh, by the carnal nature. The mind thinks things, we look at things, we look at situations, and we get drawn into them. But the Lord doesn't want us to go there. The reading I'd like to do, and that is, if I have a look at Mark 13, if you want to come with me to Mark 13. And Mark 13, and it's verses 33. Because I just want to show you that there's a lot of warning. And the other scriptures that we have is Luke 21:34, Matthew 24:42. What I'm saying is all the Gospels have got a warning for us to watch and pray. Be aware of what's coming. And so just to read to you from Mark 13, and it's verse 33, it says, take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. And he speaks about, it's like a man going into a far country, he gives authority to his servants. But when he comes back, are those servants still in place? And we are his servants on this earth. Are we going to be found in the place where we are still serving? The Lord says, will I find faith when I return to the earth? Will I find faith? In other words, he has an expectancy to find faith, but he questions it. So we need to be in a place of making sure that we're right where the Lord wants us. And all of us here, when we look at Ephesians 1, it says we are called, we are chosen, we've been brought here on purpose, by design. This is not by chance that you're all sitting here this morning. It's not by chance that any of us are where we are in the fellowship when we are together, or individually. It is not by chance. You have been chosen. It's a true privilege. And sometimes we don't understand the privilege that we have. That privilege is that we have a place in heaven. There's a place for us set aside in the future. We were talking earlier on, and I was saying that in my youth, I was never that concerned about the future. you know, what people call pie in the sky when I die. But it's not. There is a special place reserved for us in heaven with the Lord. You read Ephesians 2, Ephesians 1 and 2, where it says, we've been seated with Christ at the right hand of God. We have been, not going to be. And so we need to understand that we are truly privileged people. Truly privileged. And as I say, I'm not here to condemn you all, but I want to encourage you. Each and every one of us here this morning has a deposit in their hearts from the gospel. We have been listening to the gospel, some of us, for a very long time. The Lord has placed a deposit in our hearts. That deposit is there. And we all have it. There's no some better than the others. We are all the same before the Lord. And one of the things we need to understand is that with this deposit, it's easy to become complacent. You know, you look at the... I was just going to say, look at Ephesians. In fact, let me read Ephesians 4 for you. If you've got a pen, it may be worthwhile reading this in your own time, as it were. And that is Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 6. And Paul, when he's speaking to the Ephesians, is talking about what the Lord has put in place for his church. And so I'll read it. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay, it's worthwhile going and reading that. And I want to follow that up with Ephesians 4, verses 23 here. And he says here, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So we're talking about putting on the new man. And it's like taking the Lord's yoke upon you. Now, very seldom do you hear of the preaching on the yoke. Well, not often. And so for me, the yoke... When we put the yoke of the Lord on us, it's that total dependency, the total removal of your existing yoke. Well, I'll come back to that. But we need to be aware that we need to put on this new man, because the Lord is building and preparing a church. And we need to look at who we are. Can the Lord use this little community church, Grace Community, the church that the Lord has placed us in, our church, the church that is ministered to by Andrew, Susan, and the various other people here. But it's your church, your body, and you're responsible for your own spiritual well-being. Andrew, or Ken, or Nigel, or Emma, or Jeanette, or maybe we'll be thinking, no. The question is, we can't take you there. We can guide you, we can lead you. But you're the only people who can put yourself in the place of being righteous before the Lord. You're the only ones who can actually get that forgiveness from the Lord. I can't do it for you. We can guide you, encourage you, lead you. But each one of us is totally responsible for our own well-being, our own spiritual well-being. And we need to be careful that we don't put it aside and become complacent and think we're okay. Because none of us are ever okay. And so I want to read to you from Ephesians 4. I've read the Ephesians 4. We need to look at... Apologies. Yeah. God has got a plan for this particular body, this church, our church here. And when we look around, we don't see a lot of us. And the question I ask, does it matter if there's not a lot of us here this morning? Can the Lord use you right where you are in this little body where we are right now? And I would like to suggest that for some of you, you think, maybe not. I've questioned it myself in the past, but you know what? The Lord has a plan and purpose for Downer, for this area. He's got a plan and purpose. And we are an integral, important part of it. But we can't be part of it if we ourselves are not prepared to be part of it. You know, these gifts that have been given are all part of the Lord's plan for us. And as I said, for each of us, we're responsible. When you read the Matthew 25, when the Lord speaks about the virgins and then the talents. When he speaks about the virgins, he speaks about the 10 virgins. Okay? 5 of them are prepared. So when the bridegroom comes, they all fell asleep, but when they got woken up, 5 of them were ready. 5 of them weren't. And the 5 that weren't are saying, "Hey guys, can you help me, please?" But it's too late. You understand what the Lord is trying to say to us there? We need to be ourselves prepared. And then, when it comes to the gifts, you have the parable, Matthew 25, following on from the virgins, is the parable of the talents. And the Lord always spoke in parables. The question is, what gifts has he given you? Do you feel he's given you gifts? Do you think he hasn't given you gifts? The Lord's given all of us, gifting in some area, be it admin or encouragement or prophesying or preaching or whatever may be the case, teaching, doesn't matter. The Lord has given all of us a gifting for the body. And that gifting is for the building of the body. It's not for us to sit and look at home and go, "Yeah, I like this, my shiny little gift." Because it's for the body, it's not for you. Any of the fruits that come into your life are for the body. And what we've got to do is realize that God has got a plan and purpose, but it's only if we are available. I believe the Lord is wanting to use us here in this little body. Now, you may be sitting there thinking, I don't know about myself. I'm old. I'm not learned. I don't know. Whatever. There's lots of excuses we could make, including the ones that I've come up with. And I think my list would probably be as good as any of yours. And it's the reasons why we don't. But when we look at the gifting and who we are, if I can read from Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12, I think probably a lot of you know this one. And we going from verse 4. We don't always have the same gifting. There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same Lord who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works in all these things, distributing to each one individually as he will. Nobody is excluded. And if you're thinking that the Lord can't use you, I really believe you need to seek him. Because I really believe in my heart that he has something very special for us here as a body. And we sometimes think with the talents. The first two went out and they made something good. But the third one, what did he do? He just buried it in the ground. How many of us, and I speak here with the experience of having buried my talents and having to dig them up, and when you dig them up, they're all moldy and dirty. You've got to, I suppose, clean them off. And the Lord does that for you when you're honest about it. And what we need to understand is that it doesn't matter what talent you've got. You've got it. What are you doing about your neighbor? Do we love the neighbor? Are we building the body? You know, in all the letters in the gospel, the Lord speaks of the body, the temple, building. He talks about trees. He talks of planting. He talks of watering. He talks of nurturing it. What are we doing? Are we nurturing? Are we the guy with the clippers? Are we the guy with the fertilizer or the water? Andrew's very experienced with that, but this is for the body of Christ. And you know, we sometimes think, if the Lord is preparing us, what do? I know nothing. And one of the things that encouraged me, I know it's slightly, is in Elisha in 2 Kings 4, where the widow comes to him and says, "Look, my husband's died. They're going to take my kids away and put them into slavery." And he says, "What can I do for you? What do you have in your house?" Because she says, "I have nothing." But then he says, "What do you have in your house?" So she's already said, "I have nothing." But he says, "What do you have in your house?" And she says, "I have a little bit of oil." And he goes, "No problem. Go and get all the jars you can find And she just carries on pouring until there are no jars left to fill. And that is the way that Elisha sustained the widow. We are exactly the same. What little you have, when you submit it to the Lord will multiply it and use it for His benefit. The question is, do we look at it for His benefit, or do we look at our own? Are we caught up in the world sometimes with self? The Lord is wanting it for others. So that oil that was provided looked after her. But the Lord can do that in your life. In all of our lives, the Lord can produce this oil which allows us to live and continue. And He'll multiply it in a way that you'd never believe. But it's the willingness that we have to submit to Him. And the Lord will not send us somewhere or not put us somewhere where He will not sustain and keep you. He will not strengthen you in your own strength. He will strengthen you when it's His strength for His work, for His job. The problem sometimes we get so involved in the world that we pray the Lord, Lord, please help me. We've been talking about prayer and faith and what we need to be praying for. Often we pray for things that it's us, it's me. And it's not, it's all about the Lord. And the Lord to use us. And I just like to read 1 Peter, just a scripture here, 1 Peter 4 verse 7. It's interesting, you know, when the Lord says, and speaks to us and says, I want you to serve me. He says, I want you to go and do this, that, and the other. And you go, not me, not my job. Send Andrew. Far easier if you send him, Lord. And the Lord says, no, I want you. Or if it's Glenn, send Glenn. Far easier, please. And we are inclined to not want to take up what the Lord has got in front of us. So 1 Peter 4, verse 7, if I could read to you from verse 7. It says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And as each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We are stewards of what God has given us. And we need to have an attitude of diligence. We need to have an attitude of submission. We need to have an attitude of saying, yes, this is what I want. We are stewards. And the stewards have got to look after it. There's a lot of scripture that talks about the landlord who leaves his property to his stewards. And the whole thing is about when he comes back, are they still going to be fine doing their job? And we need to see that we are actually in that place. I'm not wanting to condemn you this morning. It's just to lift you, to say there is something so much more than where we are right now. Is it going to cost you? Yeah, I'm sure of it. Nothing that we do in the Lord's service, truly the Lord's service, is going to be particularly easy for the flesh, for the carnal mind. But if it's done in His strength, He will be able to use us. The question again is, will we let Him use us? Does the Lord expect us to be used by Him? Yes. Do we expect Him to use us? And my question is something I believe you need to take out. It's a question I've put to myself, so I'm sharing it this morning. You know, the 1 Peter 4 verse 7, you know, it talks about, it carries on here. If we carry on to the bottom here, it says, let him do it. If anybody speaks, etc. If anybody ministers, let him do it with the ability with God's supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Okay. Now, the Lord is coming back for His bride. We are all part of His bride, and we need to be ready like the virgins are. But you know, something that has come to me, and reading that scripture, it says, we do it for each other. It says, as each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We have gifts, we are stewards. What are we doing with the talents God has given us? You know, we can bury it, or we can say, Lord, show me where to invest this. I mean, let's get practical about it. We'll ask the Lord, where do you want me to put my talents? What do you want me to do? And the Lord will be clear to you. If you're honest and you're truly seeking Him, He'll show you. The interesting thing that I saw is, what are we doing for one another? I look around here and I look at people. I don't know where you are in terms of your spiritual walk. That's not really for me to determine. But we're talking to mature Christians here. We're talking to people who know the Lord, who serve the Lord. And so you ask yourself, what is our role? And something had came to me that I will share. When John the Baptist came, when you read John, when John the Baptist came, he said, what was his purpose? What was John's purpose? He came to make ready a people for the Lord. And that's what was given to John the Baptist. That was his clear ministry, was to prepare a people for the Lord. And I believe right now that what the Lord is saying to us, we need to spend time and diligence. We need to take time to we need to take time to seek the Lord for what He has for us. And we need to understand that in all the scriptures, and you can go through all the gospels, all the letters, He speaks about loving one another. He speaks about building one another. He speaks about supporting one another. He speaks about praying for one another. He speaks about coming alongside. What I'm saying is, we're here to look after each other. So for me, are we prepared with the deposit that we have in our lives to prepare each other, to prepare others for what is coming? You know, the Lord is coming back. There's that song, who writes it? Getty. And he's just singing, and she sings, until He returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. So either way, you know, the Lord's coming soon. And when I was younger, I maybe didn't pay much attention to the fact that there is a kingdom set aside for us. But as I've got older, it's become a little bit more important. I'm not too sure why, but maybe there's a little less time now to play around with. But the Lord is incredibly faithful. I mean, He's faithful when you're not faithful. So we need to relax in Him. We need to go forward in the Lord's strength. But for me, I really believe that the Lord is wanting us to build each other, to prepare one another for what is coming. And it's not just us. There are people in the surrounding community. And we're not talking about knocking on doors. I've knocked on doors, and I think we spend months knocking on doors, every Saturday morning, you know, and knocking on doors. And I don't think we've got a single person came to church from that. I mean, we worked hard at it. So the only way that you share the gospel is with one another, personally, when you build relationships. But it's in that relationships we need to be building people up. We need to be preparing them for the return of the Lord. Some people, Christians, sadly, don't really expect the Lord to come back out. But you know, He says, I shall come like a thief in the night. And He doesn't mean anything except that you won't know when He's coming. And He speaks of the stewards and say, if they knew the time the landlord was coming, they'd have been in a place to welcome him, have everything in place. It's amazing how we used to run an office in a corporate environment. And they used to suddenly say to you, you're having an audit next week. And for the next week, you are frantic. You're making sure everything. Why? It should have been like that. That is a job. That's what they pay you for. Why do we have to suddenly rush? Check it? Yes. Don't be silly. But having to suddenly put stuff in place, there's an audit. I need to do this. I need to. It's crazy. But with the Lord, that doesn't work. Like the five virgins, they weren't ready. And I really want you all to be ready. I want to be ready. So I need you to encourage me, to build me, to support me. Is that being selfish? No, probably not. But no, you understand what I'm saying. So, one of the things that we do, there are a lot of things that get in the way of serving the Lord. One is the flesh, what I call the flesh, the carnal man. And whether you like it or not, when the Lord asks you to do something, the flesh, the mind, the emotions, all get in the way. no, I don't think that's good for me. I don't think, not today. But we need to be in the place of denying ourselves. We need to identify with Jesus in his suffering, his death and resurrection. You know, Paul speaks about the fact that we have been privileged. Oh, sorry, Peter speaks of the fact that we've been privileged to suffer for him. And I'm not too sure about the privilege of suffering for him, but that is exactly what the Lord is saying to us. And we need to understand that we need to be denying ourselves. We need to pick up a cross. We need to follow him. The Lord is clear on that. It's scriptures that a lot of people don't like to share, but it's what the Lord is what. And we get a lot of trials. We look at circumstances around us. You know, all of us, I'm sure, have got a lot of reasons not to serve the Lord. You know, I look at my family, I look at my background, I look at my finances, I look at, I won't say my daughter, but no, what I'm saying is I know that there are a lot of testing things out there. And I don't always understand what's going on. But this I do know. The Lord has put it in front of me. I will deal with it in his strength. I can't deal with it in my own. And we need to be praying about it. You know, David in Psalm 73, he's bleating about all the people, the rich and famous, those guys who've got lots of money, who don't have problems, who don't have this, don't have. And he says, then I went into the sanctuary. Then I went into the presence of God. And I saw where they were going. I saw their end. And he also confirmed where his end was. It was with the Lord in heaven. And we need to realize that circumstances can take our minds away. As I don't understand it. Romans 8 says, all things are there for the good. That the Lord puts these things in front of us to test our faith. Trials are put in front of us to test our faith. Do I understand it all? No. But I know that as I seek the Lord, he reveals it to me. As I spend time in prayer, the Lord reveals it to me. So we need to be in a place where we are humbling ourselves before the Lord. We are looking for him to guide us and lead us. And to coin a phrase by some guy I know quite well, the best is yet to come. And the one that really sits with me right now is from Esther, where it says, for such a time as this. And we've been put here in this community for a purpose, for a reason. The Lord wants to use us. My encouragement for you today is to allow the Lord to use you, to show you the plan that he has for us, for this particular church, this particular body. We're not just a little crowd of people in nowhere. We are part of God's plan. And God's plan is a mighty plan. Do I understand it? No. Do I really know what he wants to do? No. But I know what he's put in front of me right now. We deal with it. And as we go, he will reveal it to us. And as I say, it's not up to it's not up to myself or Andrew or anybody else to do this for you. We can encourage you, we can teach you, we can do whatever. But you've got to accept it yourself. You've got to take that responsibility and say, Lord, yes, I want to serve you. I want to do what you want. I want to build this body. I want to do the work that you laid before us. Ephesians 2:10 says that he has prepared works before us beforehand. So those works have been put in place. We just need to ask him what they are. We just need to let him show us what they are. So this morning I want to encourage you. Look for what the Lord wants of us. I get a bit excited about it because I can see something. And it doesn't matter if you're old, big, small, male, female. And that is, Lord, what do you want? What do you want? And we need to take our eyes off the world and focus on what the Lord wants of us and say, yes, Lord, I want to see it. Do we understand it? No. But as long as we know it's the Lord and we follow him. We've got to be very careful about voices that we hear from other people. Be very careful. Be discerning as to who you listen to. There's a lot of preachers out there who are deceivers. They do not speak the truth. Most of their message is good, but then there's a little bit of deviance. And you need to know what that is. You need to be listening. You need to know your scriptures. Am I asking you to be theologians? No. I'm asking you to understand the basic scriptures. Understand what God has done for us. Understand his word and where it's taken us. And so, for me, the Lord has something very special and very precious for us here. And if we don't grasp it and go with him, the Lord will give it to somebody else. It's as simple as that, I think. And so for me, please, this morning, be encouraged. Look for what the Lord wants of us, because he has something very special. And it will be a real privilege to be part of it. And we just need to humble ourselves and say, Lord, show me. Amen. So this morning, that is my encouragement. And we can say we're tired. We can say that we don't know. But you know the Lord will reveal it to you. We can't do this in our own strength. He'll give us the strength to do it. He'll give us the knowledge. Like when the disciples went out with Jesus, he gave them that gift of knowledge of Scripture. And that can be done for us today. The miracles aren't over. In fact, I think they're about to begin. We need to be in that place. God can't use us for things like that if we ourselves are not available. So, expect the Lord to use you. But you can't expect him to use you when you're not prepared to be used. So that's my encouragement for this morning. And I just ask that you pray about it. Seek the Lord. Ask him what he wants. Ask him to show you. And I really believe that there will be a coming together in the body. The Lord has something very precious for us. Let me pray. Lord, we just thank you for the love that you show us, Lord. I thank you for the grace that you've shown us. I thank you for the mercy that you've shown us. And Lord, not just once, but continue each and every day, Lord. We walk in that grace, that mercy that you show us, Lord. But most of all, Lord, that we know that we can walk in the love that you show us. Lord, help us to have a love for our neighbors. Help us to have a love for our brothers and sisters. Lord, it can only come through you in the Spirit, Lord. Lord, it's not something that we can do ourselves in our carnal nature, Lord. But it's something that you, Lord, can do in the Spirit for us. Lord, help us to be built together in love, Lord. For love is the glue that holds the body together. And it is only through love that we can build this body, Lord. So, Lord, I thank you for your presence here. Thank you, Lord, for your conviction. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. And I thank you, Lord, for what you've said for me, Lord, personally. That, Lord, I do desire to serve you. Lord, I know that I don't have the strength or the knowledge or the background or the learning, but Lord, that is not your concern. You want hearts that are prepared to serve. You will do the rest, Lord. So I pray, Lord, that we would submit ourselves to you. Lord, that we take your yoke upon us. And I thank you for this, Jesus. Thank you for the opportunity to share your word this morning, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.